News Radio.
Did you know you could earn a transfer discount just by switching your motorcycle policy over to Geico? And if you already insure your car with Geico, you could even get a multi-policy discount. I've always wondered what it's like to ride a motorcycle, to ride my steel horse across the land, fighting crime alongside a tall brunette, Francesca. Sorry, my mind went to a strange place there. Where was I? All the Geico motorcycle.
The patio is now open at Founding Farmers in Potomac. Dining al fresco in Montgomery County was never...
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking, from famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're finally back in the studio after a bunch of remotes. I'm here with the lovely and very tan Nikki Nellis.
Well, thank you. You're very tan, too.
I know. I'm more tan. And
it's not a competition.
We've got a studio full of guests today. But I just want to mention quickly, we were at Founding Farmers. We did a remote there out in Potomac 2 weeks ago.
It was excellent.
It was awesome. And next Sunday, we are at Blacks in Bethesda.
We are live at Blacks.
And if you haven't been to one of these remotes, you really should come. It's a lot of fun. I'm not flogging it.
No, we have a ball. And
yeah,
everybody who comes
fun.
Has a good time. And tickets are on sale. So go to Blacks Bethesda.
And we only get 99% of the ticket proceeds. So you really should come. So, so we got a big show today. Chef Richie Brandenburg is in with us. We're going to talk about the new union market that's popping up at Florida and somewhere Avenue downtown. Where?
It's Florida Avenue Market. It's Florida and New York.
It's right near. It's right near where XM Gallaudet. Radio is in Gallaudet.
Yep, exactly.
And
there's a huge dinner there tonight.
James Beard Sunday supper.
We're going to hear all about it. And we have the guys from Three Stars Brewery in Dave Coleman and Mike McGarvey.
And they're sober, which is good
right now. But there's a lot of beer being poured, so I think things could get a little messy. And later in the show, it's going to get very, very sweet. We have Allison Reed. She's a pastry chef at Ripple and Sugar Magnolia Bakery. She's a Rammy nominee, and she brought ice cream, right?
Yeah.
Ice cream cakes. What do we bring? Ice cream
sandwiches.
Ice cream sandwiches. Yum. I cannot wait.
Can we dip them in the beer is the question.
Yeah.
We have some extra for it.
Okay, cool.
This is and I love everyone, but this is one of my favorite guest names of all time. Christine Van Bloom is here. She's the owner and cooking instructor at the Kitchen Studio Cooking School.
It's like from The Producers. What is it?
Van Bloom.
Ballistock and Bloom.
Ballistock and Bloom. And,
a little Mel Brooks reference is not bad first thing on a Sunday morning.
We're also going to get a special call in from the front from our correspondent, Mitch Berliner, at the
Bethesda Central Farm Market.
I was just going to say that.
I know, but it's taking you forever. You're talking
slow. Oh, my
slow.
God. Don't get married.
Bethesda Central Farm Market, we were there last week, and it was phenomenal. And Mitch is going to call in and tell us about some of the new vendors that are there. They're doing just terrific stuff.
And Sebastian Marquet is here from Duquesne Winery. Did I do it right?
Yes. Can you move the mic over to your face?
Yes.
It's all movable. And
Sebastian, we're going to start. You want to get about 4 inches from that bad boy so you can be heard.
There you go. Thanks.
Tell everybody.
Look at the veteran, Dave. Dave's like, I know what to do. I'll move that mic for him.
This is, you're in new turf for us. I've never heard of Duquesne before. I knew you were coming on.
I've heard of Duquesne before.
Good. We are a small winery in Lalande County near Hillsborough on Route 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 512 acres
farm. I love your southern accent.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn.
I thought you were from the south of France.
No, I'm from Burgundy, exactly. Burgundy, France. So
how do you go from Burgundy, France to Virginia wine country?
The whole country. Long story, you need that in 45 minutes? Or
yeah,
in
well,
minutes,
I need it in about a minute and a half. But,
okay,
you know.
Yes, I grew in Burgundy, learned winemaking in Burgundy at the young age of like 14 years old, I decided to learn winemaking, and my father decided to send me to school. So from Burgundy, I moved to France, South France, Languedoc-Roussillon, and Spain. And after Spain, I went to the Caribbean island, planted the first vineyard in tropical weather. After the Caribbean island, I went to California for 5 years in Sonoma and Napa Valley.
Wait a second. In the Caribbean, did you do wine?
Yes, yes.
Did you pour wine or you made wine?
I made wine.
They make wine in the Caribbean?
No, it was the only vineyard. So okay. I planted 21 acres of tropical weather vineyard. So you can harvest every month. You can make wine every week if you wish.
What kind of wine?
Oh, I did a lot of experimentation.
Who cares when you're down there? Really?
What island were you on? I'm just curious.
In Martinique.
Oh, Martinique. Mm.
And so after Martinique experience, moved to Sonoma. I made wine in Sonoma for different wineries in Napa Valley. And after 5 years, I decided to take a new challenge and wanted to try different weather conditions. So I think Virginia was the perfect location for that.
So how did you wind up with this particular
wine? Duchenne Winery was looking for a winemaker. So they contacted me and I just moved in immediately. So
well,
5 years ago.
You've brought some samples. So tell us what you're pouring first.
So Sauvignon Blanc 2011. 2011 was a difficult vintage because we got a lot of rain, but we picked all the white before the bad weather. So that really makes this beautiful wine very crisp and magnificent.
Okay.
After that, I will have a Chardonnay 2010, a Merlot 2009, and a Cabernet Franc 2010.
Terrific. All right, well, we'll talk about each wine when you're pouring, but let's start with the first one. What are you going to pour for us first?
Sauvignon Blanc, 2011.
Excellent. Okay, we'll get to pouring, and let's bring on Richie Brandenburg. Hey, Richie.
Hi.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us this morning. All right, so there has been a lot of rumblings about this Union Market that is opening up off of Florida. Let's give everybody exactly what you are doing there.
I'm looking for a little background on myself. I've been a chef for the last 20 years.
No, we don't want to talk about you.
Right.
No,
I'm
joking.
Reading
the he's reading the script.
But being a chef, I'm trying to find all the vendors that only chefs got to use and try and get them to do retail spaces so that the public here in D.C. can actually access the food that we all get in restaurants. And
you got to point your mouth towards that mic.
Well, you can move it too, so it's closer to you. But what is it about this space? Like, tell us a little bit about the creation of Union Market.
Well, it's the history of the area. It was from the 1930s into the 1960s. It was the central market of Washington, D.C. And it was moved from
Is that
the
where,
National
like, restaurateurs went? Like, when it
was restaurant tours,
went.
It was everybody. It was grocery stores. It was everybody. We've got a map up on the wall of what was originally there, and it's just amazing how much food was spaced in one
I understand
area.
That Abe Lincoln used to buy his couscous in. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely.
Brother.
But it was the National Mall was the original central market of Washington, D.C., where everyone went to. In the 1930s, they made room for the archives. They moved it over to the Florida Avenue Market area, and it just became the food hub of the entire city. In the 60s, the USDA came in and said they needed to build facilities where they could keep meat inside and go to the standards that we have today.
Right.
And they created these markets. And while they were building these facilities, everyone dispersed. And so what we're trying to do now is bring back everyone to that area and bring back the history of that area and make it a food center of the city.
Well, it's funny because, I was going to say, we've been to markets in Europe that are all sort of, basically they're stall malls where you go in and there might be
like in Florence.
40 or 50, like in Florence.
Well, and also you have the Ferry Building in San Francisco.
Right. I was the chef at one market across the street from the Ferry Plaza while it was being constructed.
Uh-huh.
And it was a great convenience. You walk over there, Agnew Bread was right there, Golden Gate Meats was right there, all vendors that everyone on the strip there used, and none of the residents of the city had access to until that was constructed.
Well, so let's talk about what you're sort of filling the stables with here at Union Market. What are some of the things we can look to see there?
We're gonna find butchers in the city that are carrying local beef that a lot of it of which you can only get at the farmers markets now. Trying to get local wholesale seafood retailers to come in and do fish markets. I'm approaching all the produce co-ops.
So you're the main curator. You are like curating this whole thing.
Development, leasing.
Let me ask you a question. It's probably the most hardball question I can ask on this show, but I'm a native Washingtonian. That part of New York Avenue typically has been somewhere you just drive up to get to Route 50. It's not known as a shopping area for anything. And now the BET opened up first. XM is over there. The D.C. Department of Education's moving. I mean, the neighborhood is coming back, but there's not a lot of the kind of residential there that...
Yeah, but that's in the plan, isn't it?
D.C. is developing. The whole area, the Capitol Hill is coming down the street. 8th Street's blowing up.
Right.
Atlas District is now becoming incredible.
Super hot.
NoMa, 10 million square feet of office space, which is equal to the entire city of Charlotte, right there in NoMa. The Florida Avenue corridor, U Street spilling over, going down that direction. It's all converging there. New York Avenue there is the artery of the city.
Right.
It's where if you're coming down from Philadelphia, New York, they point you toward 50 to come in.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing for parking?
There's Gallaudet parking lot right across the street, which we have the ground lease on. Yeah. And once we do move forward and development happens there, we'll make sure there's parking.
Are you going to tell us like the names of some of the people who are, because I know you're working with, I know some people you're not allowed to say, but are we allowed to throw out some of the bigger names of people you're working with?
Why don't we keep it for a surprise, which comes when we do open.
Okay. And what is the opening date?
We're still...
Ish.
Playing with a couple of dates.
Are we looking at September, October?
We're looking soon.
Huh? But I mean, is it going to open in the summer or in the fall? I mean, what do you think? Ish?
Ish.
We're just doing ish.
We're staying ish.
All right.
We're going to stay ish.
Let's talk about the dinner tonight. So then why this dinner? You're doing this James Beard dinner tonight with all these people. Why this big dinner tonight?
It's a benefit for Food Corn, for James Beard Foundation.
Okay.
It's two people in the food industry that we think are doing phenomenal jobs. Mm-hmm. Food Corps is a young, energetic team that is out in the field that's making food awareness all throughout the country,
right.
and bringing healthy awareness to children, which is where it needs to start.
Okay, great. And so all these chefs from around the city are going to be there tonight. And like, do we have to wear hard hats? Like, what's this going to be like?
No, it's
because I'm going. I mean, my husband is not,
all right,
but I am.
I'm gonna, yeah, because somebody's got to take care of our children.
Right.
I'm gonna jump in for a second. You stay put because we want to keep you here. We've got all Mitch, right, Berliner on the phone doing a report from the field from the Bethesda Central Farm Market. Are you there, Mitch?
I am indeed. How
my God,
are
you sound like you're in, you know, Normandy or somewhere.
Hey, Mitch.
You need a better phone, man.
We just had a 40-piece flash mob.
You did a flash mob at the market?
You got it. They're doing Zumba, tap, you name it. It's a ball.
Oh, my God. Is this something you put together, Mitch?
Of course.
Of course. Of course you did.
We want to have the most fun market and... So we're having a ball of it.
You know what? It scares me. When you told me you were going to do this, you said, I'm going to flash the market. I thought you meant something different completely.
Well, I did that last week, but I had to get bailed out, so I'm not doing it again.
So was it fun? Did it go well?
Oh, yeah. They're still doing it. And I have to walk like a block away so that I could talk to you.
All right. Oh, so we've got 2 minutes here. Tell us what's going on in the market today.
Well, we've got the first cherries, sweet, first cherry sour. Tons of raspberries. Saw it again towards the end of strawberries. We still got some asparagus. So that all the fruits and vegetables are all coming on now. Huge selection. Couple weeks left of scapes.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the most fabulous pesto. I had that last week. I made it. And, you know, we have now over 50 different farmers and vendors. I know that you guys came last week.
We loved it. It was incredible last week.
Thank you. And yesterday was our grand opening of the Pike Central Farm Market at the former site of the Silver Diner. And we had all the county officials there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, from the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, I did.
I didn't know that. I had no idea. Congratulations.
Nikki doesn't know.
Do you guys ever talk?
No.
Okay.
We're too busy.
Right.
What would we talk about?
Right.
We're too busy kissing.
Right. Okay. So this is an X-rated radio show.
It is now.
All right. So where is it? It's on the Pike at the Mid-Pike Plaza?
Mid-Pike Plaza, 355 Rockville Pike, between Montrose and Old Georgetown, every Saturday.
From what time? What time?
Between 9 and 2, and there's a park where the old Silver Diner used to be.
Right.
So you can picnic there. We'll have benches, tables, umbrellas.
Wait a second. Where's the park?
You mean
across the pike?
No. Do you remember?
I was just there.
We were just on the pike.
When did they knock the Silver Diner down?
Just a couple of weeks ago, and it's been replaced. by a beautiful park, all grass.
Go figure.
That's fabulous. All right, and how many vendors? How many vendors at the new one?
We're getting close to 40. Many of the same favorite at Bethesda Central. Definitely different ones.
All right. Unfortunately, we're going to have to shut you down, dude.
But thanks so much. I'm sorry we missed the flash mob. Well, hopefully we'll get there soon.
Okay. It's the new website, by the way, is centralfarmmarkets.com. And learn all about it.
Okay, great. All right, Mitch. Thanks so much.
I'll see you tonight.
Bye.
All right. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We will be doing beer, wine, and ice cream in just a bit. We'll be back in a sec.
The patio is now open at Founding Farmers in Potomac. Dining al fresco in Montgomery County was never better. It's an idyllic setting, away from traffic, comfortable seating in a luscious garden setting. Dine al fresco on cool evenings around the fire pit. Founding Farmers in Montgomery County, just off Route 270 at Montrose Road West. A delicious getaway for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and weekend brunch. Founding Farmers, award-winning menus of great scratch-made foods with ingredients from American family farmers and from across the region. See the menu at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Hey everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
On June 10th, we've got another live one for you. We're going to be at Jeff Black's Black Restaurant in Bethesda. We're going to be talking with the guys from Union Market, and there's going to be lots of oysters from both Rappahannock and Dragon Creek. So join us at Black's in Bethesda.
I guess you could say we're going to be back in Black's.
You bet.
That's Foodie and the Beast live Sunday at Black's in Bethesda on 1500 AM at 11 o'clock.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. May I help you?
Yeah, my car's entertainment system just isn't cutting it.
Easy answer. Get an HD radio receiver, 100% free digital sound, digital traffic, and great music choices from your local HD2, HD3 radio stations.
Well, what brands do you have?
Best Buy has new expanded HD radio inventory, Alpine, Kenwood, Pioneer, JVC, with prices as low as $120.
Wow, an HD radio digital entertainment center? Show me the way. HD radio, more radio, more value.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Roll out the barrel and lend me
Damn.
I like beer.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. And we are going to talk brewskis, my favorite subject. We've got Dave Coleman and Mike McGarvey of Three Stars Beer.
Yeah, but before we do that, we're going to let Richie do a final shout-out, right?
Yeah, I know what I'm doing here.
I have no idea what you're doing.
Before these guys come on, Richie's got to go. He's got to get over to the market, but he wants to do a final shout-out about the market for everybody.
We're real excited about our James Beard dinner. Want to thank James Beard for coming down. They're a great advocate for the food industry as a whole. And we've got a great lineup of chefs. And
are there tickets left?
There's no tickets left.
All right, so
we've been sold out all this week.
Ignore the man behind the curtain.
All right, well, thank you guys so much for coming in. And we're real excited. And once the market opens, let's talk about...
Absolutely. I'd love to come back on and talk all about all
the
vendors.
Who's going to be there?
All right, great. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
All right, so Dave Coleman,
you can have a seat.
Coming in.
Mike McGarvey, two guys that were brewing a lot of beer in their basement. And once the feds were done with them, they decided to open a brew market and a brewery and the whole thing. So rather than me telling everybody about it, why don't you guys launch?
All right. So about 5 years ago, Mike and I started homebrewing together. And shortly thereafter, we started sharing our homebrews with our friends and family. And people asked one question again and again. And that was, why don't we have anything like this being brewed here in Washington, D.C.? So after...
Well, and 5 years ago...
We didn't have any
brewery. There was nobody brewing anything in Washington, D.C.
Exactly. So about 3 years ago, Mike and I got the bug in our ear, and we started working on a business plan and running out Excel spreadsheets on financials and how we could make it happen. And basically, a dream has now turned into right on the border of becoming reality. So we've been working on reconditioning our space for the past year. Mm-hmm. We celebrated our one-year anniversary of signing our lease on June 1st, and we're about a week to 2 weeks away from brewing.
Cool.
Yeah. And what does that take? Like, what is your vision of what you're going to be brewing? I mean, how do you go from making, like, these little home batches to massive brewing? I mean, how do you go from here to here? Well, you know what I mean?
So we've been very structured as we go through the recipe development process.
Okay.
We were working with a process to try to rapidly develop new recipes. So we're working with kind of a baseline, and we do several simultaneous ones and iterate on whether it be hops or yeast or malt, and really tracking results to see what we wanted. We like to brew big beers with lots of flavor, a little bit higher in ABV typically.
What's ABV?
Alcohol by volume.
Alcohol by volume.
Okay. My favorite subject.
Yeah. So today for you, we got a couple of different ones. Yeah, we've got a sour saison. That's the lighter body one.
So good. It's almost perfumey.
However,
we've also got an imperial.
Then we have a steak.
The imperial is unbelievable. It's like drinking meat.
It's like coffee and chocolate.
Yep.
The smells are incredible.
That's a lot of toasted malts in there. What Mike and I do is we like to brew beers that are going to give you an experience that, you know, you're not going to forget.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask either one of us, what beers have you had that you were so-so on? I can't rattle off the list.
Right.
Because I don't remember any of them. I can tell you the beers that were great.
Right.
I can tell you the beers that sucked.
Well, I can be honest with you. As a real...
Can we say sucked?
Yes, we can.
Sucked.
I don't mind beer. I'm definitely developing a palate for beer. But I would never order it. It just doesn't occur to me to order it. Like, I just like wine. I'm just more of a wine drinker.
Well,
but this is...
The Saison would appeal to you.
It's very appealing to me because it's floral and it's light. You know, sometimes I feel like when you're drinking beer, I feel it's just... To me, I know a lot of people find it super refreshing. I find it a little heavy, but this is really wonderful.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of styles out there that some people just haven't had exposure to.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saison being one, it's nice, light, it's dry.
Right.
But there's a lot of flavor to it.
Well,
spiciness.
Talk about your other recipes, because the question I have for you is not whether or not you're good beer brewers, but you're going up against a world of beer out there. So you've got to find your market. How do you roll out? How do you do that?
We're very focused on serving D.C. first and foremost.
Okay.
And what we're trying to do is build an experience at the brewery. That's part of the reason that we opened the homebrew store.
So can people come into the... When I came to the place, there was no homebrew store.
It was a construction site when you came.
Yes, so, I know.
Yeah, so, and since you were there about 2 weeks ago, we have built out a homebrew shop, and that is inside what will become our tasting room. So
there will be
on premise, you can have a multi-sensory experience. So you can come in if you're a homebrewer or an aspiring homebrewer.
Mm-hmm.
You can come in and talk to professional brewers about what you have to do to kind of create your own beer at home. Plus, once we're up and running and we have beer for market, you'll be able to do tastings and growler fills in our tasting room. And then you can come out into the brewery and do tours with us and walk around a production facility.
Not knowing anything about beer making at all, what's the turnaround time? So when you say you're hopefully in 2 weeks you'll start brewing, how long does it take to brew and then product? I mean, wine takes so long. What's the turnaround time for beer?
Well, it changes depending on what style you're doing and how high your ABV is.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger beers like this porter take a little bit longer, where the Saison turns around a bit quicker. But if we hit our timeline and we're actually brewing in the next week to 2 weeks, we look to be launching beginning of July.
Okay, your porter needs a scoop of ice cream.
It does.
That's what it needs,
agree.
Right?
Actually, we agree.
Right. It's just a scoop of ice cream in it. It's Sunday brunch, right? Right. It's perfect.
You can keep your mimosa and your Bloody Mary. I'd rather have a scoop of ice cream in my porter.
That's your dessert.
I'm already buzzed.
Not surprising.
No. Mission accomplished.
All right, so I did read, you know, I actually read about our guests. I know that doesn't seem that way.
Oh, I know what I want to say.
So you have
about
a spent grain program.
Right.
What is that?
What is that?
Yeah, so the brewing process, when you're all done, you have grain that you've extracted sugars from to make your beer out of. And it's whole grain. It's still a food product that has nutritional value to it. And something that's a very big issue for us is hunger in the city, and in particular, hungry children in the city. And so one of the things we talked about when we were starting this venture was how we were also going to give back. We both live in D.C. We both live in close proximity to the brewery. And so what we've been doing is kind of talking to chefs out there and different organizations about how could we come up with a program where that spent grain is recycled back into food product.
I mean, I think it's brilliant. I mean, are other people doing that? Did you see that somewhere? Because I've never heard that before.
That do.
This is
how did you carry that through?
Well,
we're still doing it.
We're still executing on it, but... normally what a lot of breweries do is they sell their spent grain to farmers to feed livestock.
Okay.
So that, and then in turn, you feed the livestock, and then we know what happens to livestock.
Sure.
You eat steak on Sunday.
Right.
Exactly.
I thought they got drunk.
Right. So, but there's nothing, there's no alcohol in the spent grain. It's just grain that's been soaked in hot water and had the sugars extracted. So what you can do with it instead is make breads, and you can make pretzels, and you can make all kinds of food products. And so with DC.
We have it.
What the hell was that? You all right?
Yeah.
We just had a clock fall off the wall and smack Lexi. Are you all right? What a lawsuit.
Hey, Lexi, you need another beer?
Are you all right?
We got time over there.
But well, that's live radio, everybody.
Yep. But so what we came up with was, you know, D.C. is facing such poverty, poverty-based hunger that, you know, why not use the spent grain instead of feeding cattle and, you know, livestock? Why not use it to make bread and give back to people in the city that are in need?
So who do you bring in for that kind of stuff?
Well, we've talked to some large bakeries. We've talked to some chefs.
We've got a pastry chef behind you. You could talk to Allison.
We like to talk to chefs.
Okay.
Yeah, because you'll have a real volume. But what about DC Central Kitchen?
We've also talked to DC Central Kitchen.
Okay, great.
And continue to network within that their organization. Mm-hmm. And we're also, yeah, we're open to others as well.
All right. We're going to keep you guys in because we're going to come back to you for a minute. Allison, slide on over here because you're up. We got a lot of guests today. Allison Reed joined Ripple when? In January.
January.
Of this year.
Yep.
Wow. And you launched Sugar Magnolia, the marketplace, in March.
Yeah.
You've been a busy girl.
So, gorgeous.
You know, since you're relatively new to Ripple, why don't you tell everybody where you came from?
I came from Cafe Cinex after 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I was at the Mandarin Oriental for 2 years.
Uh-oh.
And I moved here to work at Indie Blue, actually, in 2005.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to take a bite of this.
Indie Blue.
Make sure you still have some beer left.
No, I know. All right, wait. Before you start telling us more about you, what are we eating?
That's a waffle with maple bacon ice cream.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
The bacon is from Benton's in Tennessee.
Mm. Okay.
I cook that with a little brown sugar on it. And dice it up and then put it into the maple ice cream.
Oh my God.
It's delicious.
What is this?
That is an oat cookie with lemon, star anise ice cream, and blackberries.
Yum.
Are you having fun? I would think putting together ice cream sandwiches
really
would be
fun.
Really
fun. Are you talking
fun.
To me?
I never really get bored, and everyone has their input. Like everyone that works at Ripple. Like, do this, do that.
No, but you, I mean, what's happened here all of a sudden, because I've been hearing about these, is suddenly you're the ice cream sandwich queen of Washington.
Right. Oh, stop.
Where's your tiara?
I know. It's good. You know, like when I came onto Ripple, they said, we have this market. We want to do ice cream sandwiches.
Right.
I said,
So it was their idea. It was their idea. Like they had an idea.
That's the idea. And I was like, I have an ice cream sandwich all the time on my menu at that time. So I was like, I already had 20 ideas in my head.
Okay.
Before it even started.
But did you know that they were planning on this market?
When I went to interview with them, then I found out.
And what's the concept of the market? Like, let's explain Ripple first.
Okay.
I mean, we've been there. I mean, it's a fabulous restaurant, but explain it to everybody.
Everything's local, organic. You know, we're only open for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Which, I have to be honest with you, being in that area on Wednesday for lunch, there's no place to eat lunch.
That area is right across from the Uptown Theater in Cleveland Park.
I think you should be open for lunch.
Definitely, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're not the only one. But now with Sugar Magnolia, so we open from 11 to 8 daily.
Uh-huh.
Chef Logan Cox does, we have 5 different sandwiches that are made fresh every morning. One veggie, a smoked fish. Right now it's char, sometimes mackerel, whatever we have in. And then we have those sandwiches, which go fairly fast, but make, you know, as many during the day. And then he has potato chips, potato salad, the bacon roasted pecans, which we also sell in Ripple. I make house-made granola, cookies, blondies, brownies, as well as 6 flavors of ice cream sandwiches.
And what about has the community just totally latched onto it?
Yeah,
I would
Cleveland
imagine.
Park's so awesome. Like, they're like, we need you. Like, we're so glad you're here.
Right.
And they're super excited and they come by and they'll definitely give you
feedback.
Yes.
That I can imagine.
I'm going to give you feedback. This is delicious.
I know. This is really, really good.
Thanks.
And what about your program at Ripple, like what kind of desserts can people find on the menu there?
At Ripple, I have lots of different kind of ice creams and sorbets, mm-hmm. as well as five other desserts and our house-made chocolate chip cookies, which are a staple there. Mm-hmm. But I also focus a lot on the gluten-free because that's big. It's big everywhere, but especially in that neighborhood, I find like a lot more gluten-free people coming in.
Really?
So I have about most of my ice creams, sorbet.
That's a very crunchy neighborhood. It is.
And I don't call it crunchy.
It is. The Child Research Center was founded there in the 1950s. It's a very kind of San Francisco part of town.
Okay.
It is.
All right. We have to take a break. When we come back, I will stop chewing this food and we can hear more about the program at Ripple. I know you're doing a grilled cheese bar. There's lots of fun things going on there. We're going to talk about that. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Fooding the Beast. We're going to talk more wine. We're going to talk cooking schools and some more ice cream. We'll be back in just a sec.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly one in three children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
On June 10th, we've got another live one for you. We're going to be at Jeff Black's Black Restaurant in Bethesda. We're going to be talking with the guys from Union Market, and there's going to be lots of oysters from both Rappahannock and Dragon Creek. So join us at Black's in Bethesda.
I guess you could say we're going to be back in Black's.
You bet.
That's Foodie and the Beast live Sunday at Black's in Bethesda on 1500 AM at 11 o'clock.
Rock that fanny pack, wearing those khakis last.
Kevin,
yeah?
What are you doing?
Just singing this sweet tune I heard on the radio this morning.
We need to get you HD Radio, man. Those are not the lyrics. If you were listening to that song in my Kia Optima with the UVO infotainment system and HD Radio, you'd hear all the lyrics with crystal clear digital sound quality. Plus the artist and song title even display on my UVO screen.
Then let's go for a ride and hope the fanny pack song comes on.
Voice-activated UVO infotainment system with HD Radio. Now available in the Kia Optima.
Like farmers markets? None's better than the fabulous Central Farm Markets in downtown Bethesda, at Bethesda Elementary, and in Rockville's Mid-Pike Plaza. Each has 40-plus vendors with huge selections of local natural meats, poultry, organic produce, cheeses, plus yummy pastries, pies, cakes, fresh breads, even seafood and more. Want prepared foods to go? They got that, too. Bring the family, bring the dog to Central Farm Markets Sunday in Bethesda and Saturdays and Thursdays in Rockville. Visit centralfarmmarkets.com for details.
I wonder why my baby drinks so much wine. If you keep
this is the perfect song to bring Sebastian Marquet back because I don't think it is, but Sebastian is with Duquesne Winery. In
you
Southern
don't need
Virginia,
a French
Lamb
accent
County.
For that.
I don't?
No.
Mon Dieu, mon ami. Vous êtes très jolie.
Okay.
Did I do that right?
Very good.
Not bad. Où est la toilette? Okay, so we're
That's
back.
It. And he's done.
This first wine was terrific.
It really was.
It's just
what a
delicate
nice,
and nice.
Nice heavy on Blanc.
Even a slob like yours truly could appreciate it. So question is, what are you pouring next?
Well, no, actually, before you pour... I don't feel like a lot of Virginia wineries do Sauvignon Blanc. You
Not
see a lot of
many.
Viogniers and other whites, but Sauvignon Blanc doesn't seem to be coming out of Virginia.
Yes, it's a difficult grape to grow in Virginia.
Okay.
It's very difficult to pick at the right ripening level and sugar level.
Mm-hmm.
If you let hang the grapes too long, the flavor become more banana and a little bit more oxidation and yellow gold color.
Okay.
So in 2011, when I did, I really pick early in the season before the storm, and that, bring really the green apple and citrus flavor. And I think it's more typical Sauvignon Blanc and what people really enjoy.
I think I don't know anything about wine growing. I just know about wine drinking. And
and boy, does she know that. Holy cow.
But I think that there are a lot of Sauvignon Blancs that I don't like because they're heavy.
Yeah.
You know, they're almost oily in their flavor because they've been let on
well,
the vines.
Well, sort of an acidic kind of aftertaste to them. This is so light.
Yeah, it's a very light. It's beautiful.
Fragile balance, I will say. You need to pick at the right date. If you pick at the right date and you ferment these grapes correctly, you mm-hmm. conserve and you keep the maximum of fresh flavor like that. So that is 100% stainless steel. We pick, when the grapes' berries start to be yellow and half green still on the vines, and you do the picking. And very slow fermentation, very cold fermentation to keep all the flavor together.
God, I wish I could say fermentation like that. Fermentation. Very nice. Fermentation. She would have married me a lot more quickly.
And quickly, you have to bottle the wine. You don't want to leave the wine in the tank for a long time. You have to keep all the flavor and bottle the wine quickly. So that is a small production. It's only 450 cases produced. And so I know.
And is that a wine that would last, or is that a wine that you should really just drink now?
You have to drink. Okay. I will say in a year or 2 years maximum. You don't want to wait.
We can do that. We can drink it now. Let's do it. All right. So we got the right crew in studio problem. For that.
While you're pouring the next wine.
Well, what are you pouring next?
Next will be a Chardonnay 2010. So that is a different technique. It's wood, oak, fermentation with new barrel from France. So you will get something more buttery and rounder than the Sauvignon Blanc.
Pour away, Mike.
All right, we're ready.
All right, Allison, we want to come back to you and talk about ripples. I nearly fell over when I read this. The grilled cheese bar. Mommy.
June 5th.
It's like I've come home.
Right. Well, their cheese and charcuterie is a pretty big program there. So starting on June 5th.
I mean, that's really what they're known for. Yeah. Their cheese program is fantastic.
Two happy hours, 5 to 6:30, Sunday through Thursday. 10:30 to midnight as well. Sunday
you sound like a marketing person.
Well, they teach me well.
Self-promotion.
There's about six different already made-up sandwiches that we've decided the flavors on. Mm-hmm. And then you have your choice of, I don't know, it's probably like up to 15 different cheeses.
But it's like toppings. A do-it-yourself kind of thing, isn't it?
If you would like to try to do it yourself, also it can be made for you.
I prefer to have Mickey make it for me. Yes. Lazy.
Then the half price beer and wines by the glass, which is over like 50 wines by the glass there. That's a pretty big deal. I mean, we did some taste testing the other day and it's pretty exciting.
You didn't invite me.
So now are you a big participant when it comes to things that are more savory as opposed to the sweet?
Yeah, I try to be like, as far as I'm working on a gluten-free bread actually.
Okay.
For the grilled cheese.
Do you need some spent grain? Because I hear there's some available.
Well, you know, maybe. I wouldn't mind working with it. But we try to collaborate as much as we can. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely using the same produce and the products that we're getting. And, you know, I'm in the front as well as the back. And we work together pretty.
Well, the guys from 3-Star have a semi out back with nothing but spent grain in it. And they've been trying to unload it on everybody. So I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, right. We'll try it.
All right, so...
And so what can people expect from your pastry program coming this summer? Like, what are the things you're looking forward to working with?
Definitely, I'm doing a seasonal ice cream sandwich. Right now, it's a lavender sponge cake with strawberry ice cream.
That sounds about terrible. Oh, my God.
Turning into blackberries and blueberries, and then I utilize those.
Can you come back next week?
Yeah. As far as the menu, I have a sorbet that's strawberry orange with black pepper on the menu, and then I'm kind of just taking all the berries and as much as I can.
That sounds horrible.
So it must be fun. This season must be terrific. Now, coming into fall and winter, do you think you'll stick with the ice cream sandwich, or do you think you'll evolve a little bit?
It's
I know I'm jumping ahead, but I'm just sort of curious.
I'm thinking about it. Maybe warm things up a little bit. I'm not quite sure.
Now, Ripple is not necessarily a kids' restaurant, but what a great place to have a party.
I know. It would be a fun place to have a party.
It's definitely kids... welcoming. They love it. They love coming in for the ice cream sandwiches.
Hey, we'll do the bar mitzvah there. Hey, yo.
We have the grilled cheese as well.
Oh, right. And the grilled cheese. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's right.
All right. Well, Allison, thank you so much for coming in and bringing in these delicious treats today. They do go terrific with the porter.
Now, let's make
Did
sure
you try it with the porter? You should just try it.
It's really very good.
I know you don't want any more ice cream, but you got to try it.
I haven't.
Here. I'm going to give you... I haven't bitten into it.
I've definitely... No, I need the waffle one.
Oh, yeah. She's like, hey.
I've got waffle over here.
All right. So I just want to make sure everybody knows where Ripple is.
Please.
Because it's a relatively... What do we want to call it? A light presence in this strip mall. It's right across from the Uptown Theater on Connecticut Avenue near Connecticut and Porter Street. And it is a great find.
We've had a great find. I totally agree.
Meals there. So... All right. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you.
Our next guest, all the way from Frederick, Maryland, is Christine. She calls herself Von Bloom. I'm not going to do that. It's Von Blom.
I love it.
I do love it, too.
Thank you.
And I'm starting to love you. She's the owner and founder and, as self-described, instructor extraordinaire.
Indeed, mm-hmm. I am.
At the Kitchen Studio Cooking School in Frederick. You're a classically trained chef, and you kind of specialize in kids, right?
Yeah, we do a lot of work with kids, and it's funny because, you know, kids are kind of the hot topic nowadays. Everybody's jumping on the kid.
Are these unruly kids? Kids
yeah,
that can't be trained?
They're rotten, let me tell you. No,
wait.
We've got two of ours out here. Let's bring them in and
beat
them.
But I think there are a lot of kids watching the Food Network.
Oh, my God. It's huge.
And
it's
honestly,
huge.
Like, when you talk about, I mean, if you read the paper today and you look at what Bloomberg's doing up in New York with trying to, like, downsize soda offerings and Michelle Obama, our kids learning how to cook is the best thing possible.
I absolutely couldn't agree
with
you more.
That's how we get rid of obesity. When people know how to cook for themselves, they know how to cook well. It's the smartest thing to do.
It really is. And, you know, nowadays, because everybody's kind of jumped on this bandwagon.
Unless, of course, they make a mess in the kitchen, then they're not allowed.
No.
Yeah, but you don't clean up the mess in the kitchen. I do. So.
See, the kids have to clean up the mess in the kitchen. Right. We actually have kids getting battles over who's going to do the dishes.
Oh, send me those kids.
I know, right?
Eli and Tess.
Where are those kids?
And they won't do a thing at home. But for me, they're all like, Chef Chris, let me do the dishes. So I'm all, you know, we get them involved in the whole process. But I think part of the deal now is everybody focuses in on your elementary school kids because, I mean, they're uber cute, right? And you're looking at them and they're so sweet and they want to mix things and stir things.
Right.
And it's awesome. And then they go to middle school or high school and everybody kind of forgets about them. It's like now we're on to the next group of cute little kids.
Right.
And when they hit middle school, they're kind of on their own a little
exactly.
more. So, and a lot of people don't like middle schoolers. Sorry. I love them. So,
well, I didn't like middle school.
Middle schoolers
well, middle school
smell
itself. Can I say sex?
Speaking
yeah,
of
no,
middle
we've
schoolers,
already said sex. Hello.
Let me introduce you to Eli and Tessa Nellis.
Hi.
Now, Tessa,
hey, how are you, Tessa? I'm Chef.
We're talking about
can
kids.
Can you say hi
cooking.
To Chef, please?
Hi. Hey, I'm Chef.
No, say
nice
hi
to
like
meet
you're
you.
On the radio.
Right.
Hi. So, Tessa cooks with Nikki.
All the time.
She's a terrific
Eli
help.
Eli doesn't because he's like his father. He'd rather eat than cook.
Okay.
So how do you encourage a lump like Eli to get involved in the kitchen?
Well, Eli, aside from being incredibly handsome, looks
oh,
like
aww.
He would be...
Hey, he looks like his father. No way.
More like mom, whatever. All right. So he, you know, we get a lot of kids who come in and some the parents are saying, you need to learn how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we just try to have a lot of fun with it. We do one of our camps. It's an Iron Chef style camp.
Fun.
And the first day, all the kids get a chicken that they have to break down into pieces.
Do they have to slaughter it too? Or?
Well, we try to avoid the whole slaughter feather thing, but
nice.
we give them all.
Because Eli likes to kill them and eat them raw,
oh,
right?
I love it.
No, but
oh,
I think teaching kids how to break down a chicken is one of the best skills that
I think
they can
it's really
have.
Cool. And I think people kind of dumb down food for kids a lot. And a smiley face pizza is going to work for you when you're little, but truly when you're getting older, I mean, it's all about showing how mature and awesome you are.
Right.
So you want to be badass in the kitchen, no matter what age
she
you
said
are.
Ass.
I did. I totally
she
did.
Said the A word.
And I work with kids.
Awesome.
I was just thinking how much a chicken would suffer, God forbid, if you gave it to a middle schooler to kill first.
Well,
you
have to. When do you dissect frogs?
Minutes.
Is that
well,
freshman year of high school?
It's around sixth grade.
Nowadays, who knows? You know when you're right. going to get those frogs. So it's the first example for a lot of kids, and I really believe you know if you're going to eat it, you should kind of know where it came from too.
I agree
because everything's so sanitized and cleaned up for us nowadays,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really into getting dirty and disgusting and messy with the kids.
Well, you like smushing your fingers in the meat. She's always like with the chicken.
Oh,
she's
good.
Like, I want to touch it. Like,
I get
not until you wash your hands.
Turn off from it, and they're kind of like. Chef Chris, I don't feel so good. I'm
oh,
like,
well.
All right, go bake some cookies.
Right.
You know, but we try to get them involved the whole way through because it stokes their interest.
All right, so wait, I want to hear about your... Do we have time?
Yeah, we have 2 minutes.
Okay, tell us about how you started your program. Where did it come from? How did you start a school in Frederick? I mean, how did that all happen?
I got to Frederick.
And we love Frederick, just
I
so
love
we know.
Frederick.
We love it.
And I moved there from the Upper West Side of Manhattan, like 15 years ago. And it was us and four cows and, you know, two restaurants in town.
So you had four cows in Manhattan?
Yeah, I know. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Did they walk down?
No, but we kind of, you know, I had my son and our cute apartment got... incredibly
really tiny.
So we stumbled on Frederick. We didn't know anyone down here. And I just, I love teaching. I love it. And I didn't want to get in the thick of the restaurant world because you have to be insane, right, to do really well.
Right.
And because...
Well, we've got a couple of nutcases right here.
Right. I know.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
See, that's awesome. And I didn't want to do lots of nights and weekends. So, of course, in opening my own school. And we're there 7 years this summer.
Congratulations.
And everybody's like, oh, I had no idea who you were. I'm like, I don't know who you were either.
Christine
right?
Von,
nice to meet you.
Von Bloom.
I know. I love it. So I love the teaching, and I am all about food and, you know, being large and in charge. And I just try to, you know, spread that throughout the community and what we're doing. And we do so many fun things.
But that community has, I mean, in the last 50 years has changed so dramatically. And I think it's fascinating. I mean, we've been out there several times. Our kids love Frederick. We've been out there several times.
The restaurant
scene is really
it's super
fabulous.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, not just because of Brian Voltaggio. I mean, there's...
No, and kudos to him for, you know,
making
what
it,
he's done.
Right.
But Frederick's so much more than that. There's so many awesomely cool, ridiculously great things there. And it's a wonderful place. I'm thrilled that
and where
the
are
kitchen
you?
Studio...
Where are
we're
you
actually
then?
Right off of 270.
All right, okay. I got to interrupt because we're going to take a break. But give us your web
address.
Well,
we're going to come back to her.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. We can give her 1 minute. We're going to come back to you. I run the show. He has nothing to do with it. Okay. So this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to talk a little bit more.
I run my house.
About cooking school. We'll talk a little bit about beer. We have another wine being poured, and the ice cream is melting. But we'll be back in just a sec.
Adobe Acrobat Pro is actually used very commonly for PDF archiving. If you've got a lot of files of different formats and different types, if you just save these files into all these different formats, then 20 years later, somebody wants to look at the file, they'd actually have to have the program that could open up that file. So for digital archiving, you'd rather have a standardized file format.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, Rick Leeson, founder and CEO of Frontier Advisors, an investment management firm in McLean, Virginia. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Please visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com and tune in every week for Blueprint for Wealth.
Hey everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
On June 10th, we've got another live one for you. We're going to be at Jeff Black's Black Restaurant in Bethesda. We're going to be talking with the guys from Union Market, and there's going to be lots of oysters from both Rappahannock and Dragon Creek. So join us at Black's in Bethesda.
I guess you could say we're going to be back in Black's.
You bet.
That's Foodie and the Beast live Sunday at Black's in Bethesda on 1500 AM at 11 o'clock.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
I love that song. So perfect for a French guy here with delicate wines. We're back on Foodie and the Beast. Before we get back to our guests, I just want to thank the people that make this show possible. Mm-hmm. Our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, the single greatest bagel in Washington. I kid you not. You're eating them now, guests.
They may be the only bagels in Washington.
Yeah. Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's the two. Rustico's Evening Star, Tallulah Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, and Church Key. Mm-hmm. Our friends at Founding Farmers, who just hosted us at a great remote out in Potomac.
And if you haven't been to that location, it's really spectacular.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And the food was awesome. It was a great experience. And Bethesda Central Farm Market and their patron Saint Mitch Berliner,
who did a flash mob today.
Who flashed the
flashed
market.
Everybody.
All right, so Christine, let's come back to you. You got anything you want to promote?
Yes, let's talk about what's available. She's like, where do I begin?
You got a minute, baby. Go.
All right, so up at the kitchen studio, and I know it feels like taking a trip to the hinterlands, but I promise it's totally worth it. We do lots of culinary team building, lots of stuff with kids. We just hosted our first bachelorette party for a gay wedding from a group
so a Jack
down
and Jack
in D.C.
as opposed to a Jack and Jill.
And they were just super fun and awesome, and it was a great night. So we do lots of things like that. And for those of the kids not willing to make the trek up to Fred Rock, we do our GottaBreakSomeEggs.com website, which is a site focused on teen and tween cooking. So it's not going to have all the little kid stuff,
right?
Because we're not super into that. No. But it's going to have videos, and we pick a cooking star of the week, and we send them a little prize, and we put their name up and their picture.
That's so cute.
It's
oh my
so
God,
cute.
No, I
they
love that.
It. And we don't
really
do any like, identifying things like you can find that at 123. Right, right, right. Just here's Watch Johnny, it. And he's so cute with
Dave
the knife.
Dave Coleman's over there been taking notes.
Yeah.
Listen, I think that's really engaging, and I think with kids and cooking, that's the only way to do it, you know?
Yeah, I think you're totally right, because you got to get them involved, and you can't forget about them once they're, you know, going through that.
You know what? Let me tell you what we do. We get them out of college. And
it,
we forget
the
they
goes.
Exist. Stop talking. What's it? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
When she rolls her eyes, I have to be quiet.
Well, thank you for trekking down here.
Thank you
and
so much.
It sounds like you're doing terrific things. I mean, I just love what you're doing. I think it's great.
Oh, thank you so much. So we love it, too.
We're going to come out one day and do a cooking class. Don't
we
you
would
think?
Love, would
you
we love would that? Love to have you, too.
Chef Tess?
Tessa,
okay.
Say yes.
Yes.
Say
okay.
It. Never mind. Anyway.
Yeah. Sebastian. Should we go back to Sebastian?
Yes, let's go back to Sebastian. There was something I didn't understand in the information that we got from you guys. What is the Heritage Club?
That's because he didn't read it. He just saw the words.
When I came at Duquesne Winery 5 years ago,
you're going to get it.
George Bazzacco, the owner, said, you know, Sebastian, I really want to develop this winery and become a destination winery. So I said, okay, let's think about that. And coming from California, I saw there the direction that wineries are taking is to build club and to try to have people coming
like
back.
Like memberships?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I put together...
Three Stars is taking notes.
Heritage Club.
It's very big. Specialty products for club members.
Right.
Exactly. So I put together this Heritage Club to try to have people coming back to the winery. And so we were thinking about how do we charge people to be a member or not. And I said, no, I don't want to charge people. I just want to sell my wine. So the only obligation that people have is to buy one case minimum per year.
Okay.
And it's not much. You know, you have
one case of
options.
A single wine, or can you get a mix of wines?
This is, I think, why Duquesne Winery Club is very successful, is because we let people to pick the wine they want.
They want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of management behind and difficulties. People want change order last minute, so we have to deal with that. But in same time, you know, they pick the option of wine shipping they want, or they come to the winery to get the wine they want. Mm-hmm. So they can get 2 bottles every other month, or 3 bottles 4 times a year, or 1 case a year.
Now, can they join online as well and order online or no?
You know, we are small. We don't have a big system on the website. We like to have also a connection and people to come to the winery and
sounds
experience
like you need
the
a marketing
wine.
Agency, my friend.
So we are working on it, and soon we will have a better website and better system for that. But for now, we like to have people coming in, expand the wine, expand the location, because we have this 512 acres farm on a short hill mountain, and it's just magnificent.
Do you do events there?
Yes, we do. By the way, yesterday we had like a destination race with, I don't know, 2,800 runners who came from all the United States. And
crazy.
Maybe 6,000 or 7,000 people came and run around half marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So extremely successful. We have also Test of Italy coming the 22nd of September. So people will experience crushing grapes and making wine.
Oh, we will be
there. So the Taste of Italy is an event you're doing at the winery.
At the winery,
now,
yes.
Wait a second. So a Frenchman is doing the Taste
That's
of Italy.
That's a lot. They're right next to each other.
Wait, at a Virginia winery.
Excuse
no,
me.
I just want to understand the process.
We have two large events.
She doesn't know anything about geography.
No, we have two large events. Now she's right. She's right. We have two large events. We have Taste of Greece and Taste of Italy, because the family owned the winery are Greek.
Okay.
And George Bazzacco is a doctor and study medicine in Italy.
If he's a doctor, he's not going to let me step on any graves.
No,
you will. He'll take one up at his feet and be like, uh-uh. That's gross.
We're all going to die.
So people come, they spend the day, they just, you know, we have horses, we have cattle, it's a farm. And
fun.
And they come and they pick grapes with us and crush grapes.
So
and
now that's
stone
in the
grapes.
Fall.
Yes, in the fall.
When's taste? That's Taste of Italy or Taste of Greece?
Taste of Italy. Taste okay. of Italy.
All right. So we've got about another minute with you. Tell us about this trip to Burgundy because one way or the other, I'm going to worm my way onto that.
And you're very welcome.
Dave Coleman's pointing at me, but I have a wife. You
so
know?
Life.
Yeah. You know, you're right.
You know what? I'm going to be really generous.
Let the man tell about his
and
trip.
And tell you guys, go ahead.
We will.
I love you.
You know, coming from Burgundy, a lot of people and say, oh, Sebastian, we love to go to France, but I don't.